All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back. It's Joe and Peter here, welcoming you to Providence POV. It's Thursday the 7th. You'll be listening to this on Friday the 8th, which will be one day before Providence hosts UConn in the Big East regular season finale. Before we get there, I wouldn't say it's a big win, but certainly a meaningful one. On Tuesday, Providence beats Georgetown on the road by 13 points. It's always nice now to beat Ed Cooley, even though it's only happened twice. But anytime that, you know, you can kind of stick it to him, whether it be, you know, on the court, on Twitter, in the media, any way that Providence as a program and community can stick it to Ed Cooley is always a good one. The best is on the court. Providence wins that one 71-58. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing good. The Friars, they took care of business, right?
Yeah.
Joe, our season didn't technically, or our at-large bid quest did not end on Tuesday night, right?
No.
And thank God, right? Like, you want to keep playing. And obviously, that Big East tournament's always up for grabs, no matter, and that's any conference, which obviously makes college basketball great. But Providence keep their very much – like real possibility, which is it's 100% still a real possibility to get an at-large bid alive. They looked better, I would say. Obviously, we'll dissect a little bit of the game, but they looked better. It took them a little while to kind of maybe get a little – their offense kind of clicking, mainly in the second half, which we have seen the offense, obviously. We've talked about it a million times, be very inconsistent. But, look, you got a double-digit win. You took care of business. You got to 10 wins in the Big East play. You got to 19 wins overall. And now it sets up a massive Saturday night game where if you win, then you're very, very, very close to punching your ticket.
Yeah. Very well said. You know, I don't think that this win particularly does a lot with respect to where Providence stands on the bubble. And our at-large hopes, I would say that we're safely still on the outside looking in. But it was a game that you couldn't lose, right? Georgetown is just effing terrible this season. You can't lose on the road to them at this point in the season. So Providence took care of business. You beat them by 13. It was a 16-point game with less than the possession left, and Georgetown hit a three to close things out. But that's neither here nor there. Cooley loses again. He has another colorful presser where he throws slight jabs at Providence. Again, you know, he's going to continue to play the villain role. He's going to continue to say, you know, hot button things that are going to get the fan base all riled up. But that's kind of just the game now. As long as we keep beating him on the court, he can piss and moan to the media like a little baby all he wants. But at the end of the day, he did this to himself. That's really all I have to say about that. Providence, you know, just out muscles and out talents Georgetown down the stretch. Devin Carter was phenomenal. 24 points, 12 rebounds, 9 for 17 from the field. Oduro had 14 and 9. And then Rich Barron, birthday boy, had a big game, 11 points off the bench, 4 for 7 from the field with three pointers. And for Georgetown, really the only notable thing is Jaden Epps. He was 6 for 19 with 16 points. Brumbaugh had 10, Stiles had 13, and Fielder had 10. But like I said, you know, one-sided in the second half. Devin Carter put the team on his shoulders and pulled away. The Providence fans were outstanding. I mean, you could hear them on TV chanting, "Let's go Friars." I know there's been the clip floating around Twitter of the "Let's Go Friar" chants, and Ed Cooley is just losing his mind towards the officials. I mean, that is just that's as poetic of poetic justice. I don't even know if that makes sense, as you can get. You know, Cooley calling this an easy win, and then having, you know, more fans for the opponent in the gym than for his team. Awesome, 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 awesome stuff.
Yeah, that was super cool. Super cool to see. And yeah, you said Devin Carter took over in the second half, and it wasn't a particularly great start for Devin Carter, right? And it's one of the reasons the offense struggled in the first half, right? Just because we kind of go where Devin Carter and Josh Adoro takes us, right? And we don't need – you guys don't need Joe and I to tell you that. But right. We know. Everyone knows what this team is at this point, right? No, but you took care of business against Cooley again, right? 2-0. That feels nice. And we'll get to this maybe potentially. Obviously, next week we'll talk about it if it does come to fruition. But we can talk about this towards the end of the show. Do we see a third matchup with Cooley next Wednesday? And obviously, that depends on obviously what happens this weekend. And obviously, if it does happen, we'll obviously talk about it on Monday 100% or Tuesday when you guys listen. But no, like. Yeah, Devin Carter took over. I thought he got more comfortable. I thought he got a little more aggressive, Joe, towards the rack. The Friars played a good game offensively, right? Like they kind of did their thing. Rich Barron, like you said, had a really good game. He's had a great shooting game. His drive into the lane was something nice to see. Maybe something we'll see down the road more in his career. Obviously, he's been more of just a true spot up type shooter this year, which is 100% understandable. He's a really good three-point shooter. He had a nice game. He was comfortable. But yeah, like, it's the Devin Carter, it's the Josh Adoro show, right? Like, and we all know that. Georgetown knows that. Ed Cooley knows that. He even said that basically in that little huddle they do when they
oh, like, yeah, the hot mic.
Which I also, and I was talking to my dad about that. I hate that.
I hate it, too. That's
what Cooley says, but, like, for any coach that does that, because, like, you're in a tight Big East game, no matter what game it is, right? You're in a close Big East game. No one wants a freaking mic hanging over you. And two, you can't really say anything.
Right. I was going to say, it's very – sorry,
go ahead. A lot of times you're cursing. No offense. And look, because it's basketball, it's sports, they're cursing. They're not saying, like insanely vulgar stuff. But, like, they're trying to get a point across here of, oh, maybe we're down – imagine you're down 8 at home in a huge game, and you got a mic hanging over you, and you're like, really? I'm trying to, like, get my team – these are college kids – trying to get your team to wake up a little here,
yep.
And you got a mic hanging over you, and you have to deal with it. Like, that's like, I don't like that stuff. That stuff annoys me.
That drives me nuts. And that's, it's almost always on the Fox broadcast, the inside the huddles.
It's always Fox. Yeah.
I hate that. Right. Like, the coaches are trying to coach the game, and especially, like, they'll go in the huddle during an integral timeout. It'll be like a 2-point game at the under 8 in the second half. And they'll be like, let's hear from Kim English. Like, you think Kim wants to broadcast what he's, you know, screaming at the guys in a pivotal timeout.
Not even screaming, but like he's trying to like maybe draw, like get the offense back in rhythm, get some sets set, right. All that kind of stuff. Like you said, if it's under 8 or whatever it is, like 2-point game, you're fighting for your lives at this point, right? Like,
I hate on the CBS broadcasts when they grab the coach going into the locker room. Like, what if you're down and you're pissed off? Like,
yeah,
you don't want to be arm in arm with a reporter. Like, oh yeah,
that's more of a football thing too. They do that a lot, obviously. Yeah. College football and NFL. And I never got that. That annoys me too. It's like no one wants to do this after the game. I get it. If you win,
right,
you should have to talk to the guy. I get that. You won the game. Nothing should be mad about anything, but like all that kind of stuff. But no, but I went off my point. But like, yeah, like even Cooley knew it's Carter and Adoro. But look, if you get that kind of points from, you get those 11 points from Barron, right? You get, Tanguy Gaines didn't have a great shooting night. He had 8 points. Pierre, I think Pierre needs to be more aggressive, right? Like it's just, it's a little bit of, and he's still probably battling the flu that we found out over the weekend from Kim English. But like, it's a two-man show and it's guys coming in. And if guys around them can make shots in timely fashion. Pierre a couple weeks ago against X, right? He made a couple threes down the stretch. You can beat anybody if you do that. It's just with the guys we have, it just hasn't been consistent enough. And on Tuesday night against Georgetown, for the most part, especially in the second half, you got some timely shots. Guys made some plays, and that's the reason you hung 71 points.
Yeah. At the end of the day, guys made the shots. And the defense held on. I think Georgetown's awful shooting did us a couple of favors down the stretch. But no, it was a solid win. You know, Kim always says that any road win in the conference is a good win, and I think that's correct. Especially, you know, as terrible as Georgetown is, and as terrible as DePaul is, you really don't want to stub your toe on the road against either one of them. And, you know, especially as the season progresses and gets later, like teams like Georgetown and DePaul get more and more desperate. So you need to be as disciplined and as sound as possible. And I thought we did that.
We also came off the worst week of one of the worst weeks of the season. You needed some
right.
Exactly. You need problems at this point. You need, obviously you needed the win so you don't fall out of the basically NCAA tournament picture. But for the team as a whole, you needed a win to get back on track, which and now in the next basically week and a half becomes the biggest week and a half of the season.
Yeah, and exactly, right. Like I was saying, you don't want to stub your toe against these teams. They get desperate. They're still college kids, right? And we even saw it. Like, they have pride. Jaden Epps stared down Devin Carter on that end one in the first half. Like, these kids remember things, and I'm sure if I'm Jaden Epps, I remember Carter picking my pocket and windmill dunking to win the game in Providence, right? So keep in mind that there's a chippiness and an edginess regardless of record. But like you said, it was important to get back in the win column after, you know, arguably the worst or second worst week of the season. And also it builds some confidence back up ahead of UConn on Saturday, which is probably, you know, moving forward here, what's going to take a large chunk of today's show. And that's, you know, the road ahead. And it's ironic because the road ahead is right now one game against a guaranteed opponent, right? Like, and that probably sounds weird. The reason I say that is because after UConn, we really don't know who we're playing next, because a lot of the seeding for the Big East tournament has not been locked in yet, aside from UConn at the one. There's a chance that Providence, depending on what happens this weekend, could land anywhere as high as the 5 seed and anywhere as low as the 8 seed. I won't go through the specifics of where we can land based on what scenarios and who wins and who loses. If you want to go into that, I would recommend checking out Matt Hackman on Twitter. He posted this huge headache of a graph that
basically... Yeah, it also gets an Advil next to you and a glass of water.
Yeah.
Caffeine.
But... Yeah. A nice coffee,
Advil, something. It water, is a headache.
Blue light glasses. But
You could be normal and just let it play itself out.
Right. You can have mental. You could be mentally ill like us and the rest of the Providence community that is.
You texted me that thing last night, Joe, and I was like, when you texted me the whole thing, I was like, yeah, this is too much.
It is too much. I'm looking at it
way too much.
I'm looking at it right now. There's three teams that are locked into seeds, and it's Connecticut at the one, Georgetown at the 10, and DePaul at the 11. And 2 from 9 is just a cluster. Like, I'll go through it and read you the most likely for each one. Creighton is most likely to get the 2, Marquette the 3, Seton Hall the 4, and then 5, 6, 7 is a blur between St. John's, Providence, and Villanova. And then Butler and Xavier are the front runners for 8 and 9. But basically, depending on what happens, who wins versus who doesn't, Providence could finish as high as 5 or as low as 8. Right now, if I was to make a bet, I would say 7, even if we win, just because of, you know, other teams and what happens to them. Even if we lose, most likely 7. But the one thing that we can control, because a lot of this is going to be out of our control, is, you know, how we play against Connecticut on Saturday. And more importantly than Big East tournament seeding, a win against Connecticut puts you in a very good position in the eyes of the selection committee.
It's probably one of the best wins you can get in the country, right? At this point, 100%, unless I guess the only thing better would be beating them away, right? At UConn, but it's
right.
It's one of the best wins you can get in this country. And the cool thing about – not the cool thing. Obviously, it would be nice if we only had, like, 5 losses. But, like, the interesting part of where we're at right now is that you control your own destiny, right? And you can say that for every single team in college basketball because you have tournaments. But in the regular season, at the moment, I'm not going to say 100% we get in if we beat UConn. But if you beat UConn on Saturday night, right, and you don't do anything stupid – next week, right? Anything that really just messes you up next week in the Big East tournament, you're probably in. Do I know where we're in? No, it'd be a last 4-in team and we're playing in a playing game. 100%, that could be it.
And at least you're in.
at least you're in. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think a win against UConn on Saturday probably puts you in, right? That's where I think at the moment. A loss against UConn on Saturday, which obviously is the most likely scenario out of the two, puts you into next week where it's fun if you're an outside person because you're not stressing. But like for you and I and everyone that's a province fan, everyone that's listening, you would have an intense game on Wednesday, most likely against a team that does not, the win does not matter as long as and the loss ends it for you. And then you go into Thursday, which is almost a must win on that Thursday.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think a win against UConn takes a little bit of pressure off of our backs next week.
Joe, I got a question. So if we beat UConn, sorry to cut you, but I got a
question. Yeah, let me hear it.
So if we beat UConn on Saturday night, I know there's other scenarios. We're most likely the five unless Villanova plays. Loses.
So if we beat UConn on Saturday, the only other thing that for Creighton to win. And honestly, I'm gonna paint that game as a toss-up right now just because Villanova's been playing well as of late and Creighton's been playing well as of late.
And Creighton doesn't play well on the road.
Right. Creighton doesn't play well on the road. But Villanova also just lost a head scratcher to Seton Hall. I mean, Seton Hall played tougher than Villanova, but it didn't look like the Villanova team that beat Providence is the best one. Right. So you'd imagine that Villanova is going to show up to that game inspired.
And they're also going to show up with a little like playing almost as like they're playing for their lives.
Well, they are.
Basically, for the most part. Yeah.
Villanova now, like, regardless of how many good wins they have, the bad losses are going to start creeping up and the number of losses is going to start creeping up as well.
Right, yeah. So they're playing for their lives while Creighton's really not at the moment.
Right. Villanova really needs. Yeah. Yeah. Villanova really needed that Seton Hall win the same way that we really needed the win over Villanova.
100%. And like basically what I was trying to get to, and that's why I asked you the question, but like you play Saturday, let's say you beat UConn, and then let's say you're still not the five, right? Let's say Nova wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're the sixth, right?
Then we're the seventh because Georgetown has a Seton Hall.
Yeah. Okay. So you're the seventh.
Yeah.
Let's say Villanova, St. John's, and Providence all win, right? Let's say we go there. You're the seven, right? You play Georgetown 10. So you just come off a huge win against UConn, right? You're probably back in the field for most bracketologists right now. Most have us at the first team out. And obviously that is very hit or miss because you're one or two guys being wrong for being in the field, potentially. So you beat UConn Saturday night. You probably jump into most people's brackets, if it's the last four in, if it's the last four buys, whatever, right? You play Wednesday night against Georgetown. You have to take care of business there, right? You can't lose because then you almost screw yourself.
I really don't want to see Georgetown again.
You beat Georgetown on Wednesday, and then you play on Thursday against most likely Creighton. No, it would not because Creighton would have lost. Holy cow. I just.
Yeah, see, you can never.
Fine. You play against either like a Creighton or a Marquette type of team. And if you lose, I still think you're in.
Yeah.
My final point here after this crazy tangent we just went on, my final point is Saturday night against UConn, all the chips are in because you're probably in the NCAA tournament if you beat UConn Saturday night and don't stumble on that Wednesday.
Right. Here's the basically the short answer, right? If you beat UConn on Saturday, regardless of seed, one win at the Big East tournament should do it.
Regardless, Joe, I got a question.
Hold on, let me finish here.
Sorry.
So if you beat UConn Saturday night, realistically, one win at the Big East tournament and you're in. If you lose to UConn, you need a minimum of two wins at the Big East tournament to be in consideration because this all comes down to the UConn win because that would be our sixth quadrant one win. Wisconsin, Marquette, Creighton, at Hall, at Xavier, UConn. That's six Q1 wins. That's 20 wins on the season. And, you know, although it's 11 losses, none of them are bad, right? And sure, the argument is out there that, Providence is scheduling with all of those Q4 games in the non-conference hurts them. It does, but we have the wins and we have the resume to make up for it, in my opinion, right? Like, I would take you know, 10-0 in Q4 versus three Q3 losses against Penn and Drexel Temple, right? Like compare to Villanova or to Wake Forest, who lost to Air Force, who has 9 wins on the season, right? Like at the end of the day, like the quality of the wins has to outweigh some of other teams' losses. So anyway, long-winded tangent short, you beat UConn, then you really only need one win at the Garden. You lose to UConn, you have to get to Friday at the minimum. All right, let me hear your question.
Not question, just like an overall like potential statement. If you, let's say you beat UConn Saturday night, right? And you're the 5, right? Let's say Nova loses to Creighton, right?
Yes.
You're the 5. You play on that Thursday. Obviously, you avoid Wednesday. You lose Thursday. Are we in?
Wait, repeat it. I got confused.
So we beat UConn Saturday night, right?
Yep.
So we do that. And obviously, in order to be the 5 and avoid playing Wednesday, Villanova has to lose to Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Creighton beats Villanova. We are the 5 seed on Thursday. Our first game is that Thursday. If we lose that game, are we in?
I don't know.
You said
I know. I'm gonna say maybe, because I know
that's a legit possibility. That's 100%.
It is a possibility. I'm gonna say the chances are still good because you beat UConn.
That's
okay. But you know, it depends what else happens, right? Because it, let's say, for example, you know, we lose Thursday, but the 6th seed Villanova wins Wednesday, wins Thursday, gets to Friday. I'd say the committee gives Villanova our bid.
Yeah, because you can take into account they beat us twice.
Yeah.
And you can play that. And then and you can't, as a Providence fan, you can't really argue against that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You lose to a team twice. It's hard to argue against that. Like, that they don't deserve, if they make a little bit of a run on Big East tournament, like they deserve it over you, and right. That's rightfully so, 100%. It's a fascinating conversation that can make your brain go into multiple loops.
I mean, it's Divine Friars. I don't know if anybody here that listens follows him. He is he produces great articles, stats on Twitter and through email. It's a subscription. Very knowledgeable, like, you know, straight to the point kind of guy. He tweeted out last night that the Nova Providence bubble conversation until Saturday is going to drive him nuts. 100%, because it's too much time right now between Wednesday and Saturday to go through all of these different scenarios and basically make my brain bleed. Mm-hmm. Because so much can happen. Right. In terms of the NCAA tournament picture, so much can happen. The reason I tend to focus more on the Big East tournament picture versus the bubble picture is because matchups at the Big East tournament can help you with the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Right. Like if we lose to UConn, right, I would hope that Georgetown beats St. John's and Creighton beats Nova, because then we could get the 6th seed, which means you get DePaul Wednesday night, then you get the chance to play 3 seed Marquette, who doesn't have Tyler Kolek, and then if you win that game, you go to Friday, and you could likely play the winner of the 2-7 game, which could be, you know, either Creighton or Villanova or St. John's, right? Like, the opportunity for a quality win comes back up at the Big East tournament, especially on a neutral site. So that's why I get so fixated on Big East tournament seeding, because the more opportunity that you have to pick up quality wins away from home in like the middle, late March, the better. Whereas like if you get shafted and you're the 8-9 game and then you run into UConn at noon on Thursday, right? Like, your season could be done. And that's happened to Providence in the past, right? The 2018-2019 team, Duke and Reeves' freshman year, that team beat Butler on Wednesday night at the Garden and then ran into the 1 seed Villanova the next day, and that ended our season. And then we were in the NIT. Whereas the 2017-2018 Friars, they were the 5 seed. They knocked off Creighton, then Xavier, and then took Villanova to overtime in the championship game. That team was very much so on the bubble to start conference tournament week. That team finished as a 10 seed in the tournament because of the work that they put in at the Garden. Yeah. So that's a long-winded explanation, but that is why I get so heavily fixated on Big East tournament seeding, because even if, you know, your resume isn't convincing going into next week, the opportunity is still there. And that's the beauty of the Big East Conference is, you know, you can go to this conference tournament and you don't necessarily have to win it. If you're on the bubble, you don't have to go into this tournament and win it to get a bid, right? Whereas, you know, a lot of mid-majors, if you don't get that automatic qualifier, you're not in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so important where we land and the matchups and the path that we draw.
Yeah, and look, 100%. And obviously the regular season wins mean a little bit more than the Big East. I've kind of noticed over the years, but 100%. You always have the ability to pick up if the cards fall right based on your seeding and who you play. If you always have the ability to pick up quality wins. Sometimes they don't always carry the weight, I've noticed at sometimes, right? Like they don't always carry the same weight as I guess a regular season win would. And obviously that factors into why Saturday night against UConn is so it's so important. It's so big because it puts you basically into the NCAA tournament, right? And like the win against Georgetown did was stabilize you, keep you right on the bubble, right on the door knocking, right? That's what the win on Tuesday against Georgetown did. Saturday night can get you into the door. It can open the door for you. And then the possibilities next week are endless.
Yeah. 100%, right? Like this is why, like you said, a win over UConn would be so important. And, you know, here's the hoping, right? Like UConn just beat Marquette last night. They have 100% clinched the one seed. They have their regular season title. Here's the hoping that we can catch UConn looking ahead to the Big East tournament and to the NCAA tournament, right? Like this game is more or less meaningless to them. And you know, obviously for Friar fans, you know, we respect this matchup as a rivalry. If you look at the UConn side of things, specifically No Escalators, who is like the face of the UConn Twitter fan base, like, you know, they don't think this is a rivalry, so they shouldn't care about this game, as even though it is very much so a rivalry. But other than the rivalry element, you know, there's no statistical significance of this, right? Like UConn is going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. They are the one seed in the Big East tournament. They clinched the Big East regular season title, right? Like winning against Providence is just, you know, pocket change at this point, which is why I'm hoping, you know, maybe we catch them snoozing a little bit. I don't think they will be. If anything, I think Dan Hurley's going to have those guys energized because he hates Providence. But, you know, here's the hoping, right? You know, anything to pick up a win over the second ranked team in the country.
No, 100%, right? And you're hoping they're coming in like you just said, maybe a little not caring as much just because of what.
I don't know if not caring is the way I wanted to depict that. I'd say like lack.
Yeah, fine. You're right. Sorry. Maybe
lackadaisical.
Fine. Sure. Yeah. Maybe I interpreted that wrong. But yeah, not fully focused. Is that better?
Yeah. Lackadaisical.
Okay. Like, yeah. So because like you said, they wrapped up everything. They've already have the one seed in the Big East. I'm 99.9% sure they have a one seed locked up in the NCAA tournament. I don't think a loss against us does that. And maybe if they lose against us and they get bounced on Thursday in the Big East tournament, then maybe the one seed comes into question. I don't think so. I really think they're locked up into a one seed at the moment, like a 99.9% chance.
Yeah.
So like I said, everything's kind of locked up for them. One seed Big East, most likely one seed in the NCAA tournament. They've done everything they're supposed to this year. And look, maybe you catch them at the perfect time and we'll see, but it's Dan Hurley. He has a way to motivate players. One of the best coaches in college basketball. They're going to walk into that building. That building is going to be loud. It's an 8 p.m. tip-off. It's going to be really loud. And maybe they get a little extra motivation that they didn't have maybe when they arrived at the arena until they walk in and see the huge crowd. And then they're like, you know what? Okay. Well, maybe a little bit more motivation. So I do expect a full effort from UConn. And I'm not saying you didn't, but I 100% get that. You never know. And It's
No, it's not that I don't expect a full effort. It's more so that I'm hoping we don't.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I know.
I expect. Here's what I'm expecting is that UConn's going to come out hot. Cam Spencer's going to take a bunch of threes and then like flip off the crowd or like, you know, drop F bombs towards us. And Dan Hurley will smack him on the ass and give him a kiss because he's so proud of him. But that was a little graphic, but
just a little.
Anyway, I think UConn's going to come out hot. You know, Dan Hurley, his wife, the players, they hate Providence. Providence certainly gives UConn their fair of shit on the court. Can you hear my dog?
Yeah.
All right. I've been waiting for this. Got to give a quick shout out to Oswin Culotta, Oswin Ticket on Twitter. He gave me a shout out the other night after I liked one of his tweets saying that he loves our third host on the podcast, which is my dog Pip, who always barks. I promised that Pip would give him a shout out back, and there it was, the barking. So that one, that one's for you, Oswin Culotta. Anyway, lost my train of thought there, but I'm expecting UConn to come out hot. It is the short end of it.
And look, the way that I thought about this before we started recording, I thought about this earlier today, the like the, what I was going to say about the actual game, right? I'm not saying we're not talking about the actual game, but like when you, if you dive into the X's and O's, like the way we played against UConn
the first time,
is kind of how we're going to have to beat them, right? Like they picked it up offensively in the second half. They had 45 points.
Right.
Obviously at half, they were up 29-28. In the second half, they won 45-37, right? And they beat us 74-65, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, and we're not the type of team, and we've said this in our couple of the games we played against other teams, especially Creighton and Marquette's of the world, right? We're not a team that's just gonna can go shot for shot. Like, we just can't do that. And in order to win this game on Saturday night, you're gonna have to make it a really, really ugly game. Whoever's wherever you're watching, if you're watching the game, if you're watching at home, wherever you're watching, you should be thinking, oh my God, this game stinks. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how we want it to be. That's how the first matchup was, outside of the refs calling every single thing. If we could avoid that again, that would be awesome. But like, you want to make this a slugfest. You want to make it a grinded out game. You don't want to give them open looks. You want to literally, like I said, watch this game and think, this is the worst basketball I've ever seen, because that fits us this time for the Friars, because we kind of did that the first time for the most part. I would say like 80 to 85% of the game, we had them kind of how we wanted them. You have to make free throws.
13, yeah.
26 does not cut it, right? You have to make, you eventually have to make shots, right? Eventually, you can't go 4 for 18 from three. You have to make a couple more threes, and you can't go 50% from the free throw line. That's what did us in the first time. Basically, the free throws did us in, and a couple of missed threes did us in. If you can make free throws, you can make it an ugly basketball game. Keep it in the mid-60s, low-70s. You have a legit shot. You have the crowd behind you. You have everyone behind you making an ugly, grinded-out game. And make UConn earn this. Make them earn 40 minutes of basketball.
Yeah. Honestly, well said. I wouldn't change a thing, you know. The only thing from the first matchup is obviously officiating was out of our control. Hopefully, you know, the officials don't blow it every time that there is physical contact, because it will be a very long game. You know, hopefully Donnie Marshall and Tim Brando are not on the call, because as has been the case, anytime the two of them are together and calling a Providence game, it is unlistenable. I would rather stick forks in my ears than listen to the two of them. Thankfully for me, I'll be at the game, but for everybody watching at home, you know, those two guys together calling UConn Providence is awful, just god awful.
Yeah, I'll be home watching, so I got that.
Sorry, buddy.
But no, like you said, Joe, right? And how I alluded a minute ago, you have to grind this game out. Like, you have to make it an ugly basketball game, and you have to have guys outside of the two, Devin Carter and Josh Duro, make shots. Right? Yeah. Devin Carter particularly didn't have a great shooting night against the first time against UConn. He was 6 for 18 from the field, but did get to the line 11 times and made 7. You need other guys to step up. You can't have Pierre go 2 for 7 and 0 from 3 from 3 again. You can't have Ticket Gaines go 2 for 8 from the field and go 0 for 4 from 3. Right?
Yeah.
They went, both those guys went a combined 0 for 7. Like, those are your two of your five starters. You can't have that. You need guys to make some shots. outside of the two main guys. And your dog agrees with me 100%
because yes, he does.
We need to make shots. And you got to have – it's the same thing. It's going to be the same thing for every game we play for the rest of the year. It's going to be the same logic. But this is the type of game where if you get into that, like – and when it's – Joe, if we start feeling early on like this is going to be a shootout, we're going to lose because we don't have 40 minutes of shootout basketball in us. I don't
think. Yeah.
We haven't shown it really this year. So I'd be shocked if they just showed up.
As important as it is to, you know, fix some of the offensive things, you know, specifically three-point shooting and converting at the free throw line, the things that went wrong the first time, it is equally, if not more important to, you know, play lockdown defense, right? We held, you know, UConn to 74 points on their home floor. That's pretty good compared to some of the beatdowns that UConn has given in Connecticut this season. So defensively, I thought we were good. You know, good, not great. Offensively, again, good, not great. Both need to be, you know, pristine on Saturday if we want to steal a win here. But yeah, I mean, I don't have much else to cover. We've said a lot about, you know, looking ahead, you know, what's important, you know, down the stretch here. And it starts on Saturday. You know, you got to play your hearts out, right? This could be the very last time that Devin Carter takes the floor at the Amica Mutual Pavilion, even though it's not senior night. It is guaranteed the last time that Josh and Ticket take the floor. So, you know, hopefully the fans can, you know, help show these guys out in style with a big win and an awesome environment.
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's probably Devin Carter's last time.
Yeah, unless, you know,
unless he wants to run it back.
Right, any wealthy alumni can take his rookie salary and
Joe, it. You wealthy alumni?
No, I am not wealthy. I am saving.
Okay, you're an alumni. We're both alumni. You and I can pitch together some. If he wants like $50, we got it.
I don't think my fiance would be thrilled with me.
Man,
with
me instead of getting the new apartment, Devin Carter for one more year.
Forget the apartment, the wedding savings, man. I don't think she would be happy with me.
Okay. I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm thinking here now. So.
Off the table. She would not be happy. No, she would not.
But everyone else would be. So.
Everyone else would be. But I'm hinting at some of the more affluent and, you know, older alumni that can certainly afford to dig deep into their wallets.
I agree. I'm with you on that. Not you and I.
We'd appreciate it, and we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Yeah, if you want to come, if you come on, you can come on the show.
We'll name the show after you if you get Devin Carter to stay.
And if somehow you find a way to get Josh and Durham more eligibility as well, if somehow you like somehow find a loophole in the NCAA system, I also like you. We can name the show after you.
Oh, geez. All right. All right. I think that's going to do it from us. Peter, anything else?
No, looking at all the scenarios in the Big East tournament, starting to hurt my brain. So,
yeah, honestly,
I think we're good for the night.
If you're a Providence fan, try not to, you know, spend too much time on Twitter like I do. I spend an unhealthy amount of time on Twitter. The screen time on my phone, the analytics for Twitter for the past month has just been god awful.
You want to share that with us?
No, I do not. Okay. I don't want to be judged. All right.
No, it's a judgment-free zone here.
Oh, it's always a judgment zone.
It is. You're right.
All right. That'll do it from us here. Providence hosts UConn this Saturday. The game is at 8 o'clock on Fox if you're not going to be there. Here's to praying that Donnie Marshall and Tim Brando are not the commentators and that Fox pulls out some halfway decent guys for this one. But
Gus Johnson?
Gus and Bill would be ideal.
8 o'clock on Fox.
Prime time, baby.
That's what I'm saying. You never know. There's a shot.
Yeah, prime time, Kim. All right. Thank you for listening. As always, check out house-enterprise.com for all of the great college basketball content that our creators produce, especially this time of year. For Peter DiBiase, this is Joe Howie. Thank you for following us all season. We still have a few episodes left, but we appreciate the consistency, and the loyalty of our many listeners. Again, shout out to Oswin Culotta. Thank you for listening. And as always, go Friars.
Go Friars.